If you have your Bibles, I'd ask you to pull them out, and we're going to be in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians is in the New Testament. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 15. Colossians 3, 15, 16, and 17 say this, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. You know, it is Thanksgiving week, and Thursday, maybe Wednesday, I don't know when you do it, but you're going to be eating a load of turkey and ham and stuffing and cranberries and pumpkin pie and corn and casseroles. We're going to have all kinds of things. It's great. You know, thinking about Thanksgiving in my life, I love Thanksgiving. I mean, it's probably one of my most favorite holidays of all. And you know how much I love Christmas. So that says a whole lot. I'm waiting for Thanksgiving Day. We'll start Christmas music on that day. But until then, I'm trying to be thankful for so much. You know, in reality, Thanksgiving is not just a day. For the believer, it should be something that is all the time. All the time, every day. Every day. I want to ask you to think back for a moment to some of your Thanksgivings and what Thanksgiving has been like. For me, it's nostalgic. I remember growing up in Texas, Thanksgiving always revolved around a television and the Dallas Cowboys and the St. Louis Cardinals. There you go. I mean, that's what we did on Thanksgiving Day. I didn't know if I was going to be in tank tops or the dreaded turtleneck because the seasons were crazy. So you didn't know what it was going to look like, what the heat level was going to be. There was always good food. There was always a lot of family. There was always friends. We'd gather in the front yard and play football because we were the Dallas Cowboys at that time. I mean, it was... We loved it. We loved going in and looking at all the foods. I mean, eating all, everything. The only thing I didn't get was giblet gravy. I'm not a big giblet gravy fan. But eating lots of good stuff. You know, as I think about Thanksgiving, I think about all the different ways that people give thanks. When I lived overseas, they didn't serve or have Thanksgiving the way that we have it here. But they did have a day of thanks for something else. Most countries have days of thanks that they have. It could be for military victories. It could be for their Independence Day. Some countries have a Thanksgiving type of day for work because they're thankful that they have work that they are thankful for. I don't know many of us that always think about work being one of the first things, but we should be thankful for work that the Lord has given us. As I think about this passage and all the different days that people have for Thanksgiving, there's 3 days that I'm going to ask you to spend with me for just a few moments as we walk through this passage. We're going to talk about the first one, though. The first day of Thanksgiving that I want you to think about is that day. If you're taking a few notes, you're thumbing something down, it would be that day. I want you to think about that day, if you will. Look at verse 15 with me. Verse 15 is in Colossians 3 says this, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." If you write in your Bibles or highlight, underline the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, if you don't mind. He says, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." In the Bible, there are over 150 different instances where the word thanks, thankfulness, gratitude is used. That should be the core of who we are as followers of Jesus Christ. Those of us who have surrendered our life to Christ, those of us who have bowed the knee to Jesus, we've submitted, we've surrendered, we're in His kingdom. Our attitude should be an attitude of thankfulness. God, we're thankful. Now listen, the situation that you may be in may be a very difficult situation, and we'll come back to it. We're not necessarily always thankful for that thing, But where we are, God, I'm thankful because I know that you've brought me here. Notice what it says here. He says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. What should we be thankful for? Number one, we ought to be thankful for the peace of Christ. Do you realize the only way that you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, I want you to hear this. The only way that you can have the peace of Christ is by surrendering and submitting your life to him. That is the only way. What we talk about around here often, about the peace of Christ, it's called the gospel. The gospel means this. It means good news. And if there's good news that the scripture tells us about, and it says, listen, there's good news, this is the gospel, that has to mean there's bad news. If you have good news, you have to have bad news, or otherwise you don't realize how good that news is. Here's the bad news for just a few moments. Prior to me surrendering my life to Jesus Christ, I was lost in my sin. Many people think that babies are born innocent and they're just they're an open slate that you ride on and they become. Can I tell you that babies are born sinful? All of us are born sinful because of our first parents, Adam and Eve. Because they sinned, the sin gene, so to speak, was passed to us, our tendency for sin. And so we come out as sinful people. You know this if you got a baby, because they scream, they want their ways met, and feed me, change me. It's a part of who we are. It's a part of who we are. But can I tell you the good news? The good news is that Jesus Christ came to earth, God in flesh. Long before any one of us lived a day of our life, before any of us were born, long ago, this is not like some fairy tale, long ago, God knew that we were going to have a way to have a right relationship with him. And he sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, God in flesh, took on flesh and bone, came to earth. He lived a sinless, perfect life. That means he never sinned with his hands, his eyes, his mouth, his feet. His motivations were always towards the Father, whatever the Father desired. He was perfect. And the Bible tells us that his perfection threatened those that he came to. And they put him on a cross. They put him on a cross. They crucified him. The Bible tells us that they put him in a grave, but 3 days later, the power of the Spirit, he arose, and 40 days later, he ascended back to the Father. And that is the gospel, and that's good news to you and I. You may be thinking, the gospel is more than just getting saved. The gospel means that we can live each and every day. We can live with faith. We can live with trust. We can live with forgiveness. We can live with hope. All of that is because of the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. But not only should we be thankful for the peace of God, I want you to know that that's personal. Do you notice what he says here? He says, in the peace of Christ, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. In your heart. Let it rule in your heart. Today, if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, the only way that you can have the peace of Christ is by surrendering your life to him, bowing your knee to him, surrendering your life and saying, Jesus, I've tried it all. I've put my faith in this. I've tried this. I've tried this. And it's all let me down. The only way that you and I will see heaven, the only way that you and I will have the peace of Christ in our heart personally is by surrendering to him. That's the good news. That day that he was crucified, that day that he was buried, that day that he rose again, that's a day that you and I should be very thankful for. That is a great and glorious day. Notice what verse 15 says. It says, and be thankful. That's a command. That's an imperative that you and I as followers are commanded to be thankful people. Do you realize we don't have a choice about that? That's a command to be thankful. No matter where you are, no matter the situation, we are to be thankful. Do you know what the word thankful, thanks and thankful, in the original language, the Greek language, you know what that word means in the Greek? Eucharisto. It means, Eucharisto, it means thanks. For those of you who grew up in a tradition where you observe the Eucharist, we call it the Lord's Supper. We call it communion. Do you know what we're doing when we take communion? We're having a Thanksgiving meal. What are we thankful for? We're thankful for the body of Christ, the little piece of bread, and the blood of Christ. If you're serving communion today, I would like to ask you to go ahead and come forward. The trays are here, and you can go ahead and begin to serve and pass that out now. As this comes by, this tray of communion, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, I would like to ask you, will you go ahead and pull one of those out? This is for followers of Jesus. If you're not a follower of Christ, you just let it go by. Nobody's noticing. Nobody's watching. You say, well, Kyle, why should I let it go by? Well, because it is a memorial meal meant for those of us who are a part of his family. The Bible tells us, in fact, Paul said in 1 Corinthians, that as often as we, he got this from Jesus himself, he said, as often as you do this, you're proclaiming my death. You're proclaiming the death of Christ. So today, as we take this, what we're doing is we're proclaiming the death of Christ. In Mark chapter 14, the night before Jesus was, or the night that he was going to be betrayed, the night before he was crucified the next morning, he and his disciples were in an upper room. You've probably heard that story. They were in an upper room. They were about to observe Passover, the Passover meal, remembering when the Israelites left Egypt from being slaves. They were observing that. And Jesus took bread, the scripture says in Mark chapter 14. He took the bread of the Passover. He broke it. And when he broke it, it says that he blessed it. He blessed it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you." And he passed it around. I don't believe that they fully understood what was happening in that moment, the disciples. The scripture says that likewise, he took the cup of wine. This is juice. It's not fermented enough yet, but this is juice. It says he took that cup and he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant in me, given for you." Once again, I'm not certain that they fully understood what was going to happen a few short hours later. It says in the same way, he blessed it. Paul tells us that in Corinthians that we are to do this together as a community. As a community, we take it one with another. He also tells us that we're to take a few moments to examine ourselves. Number one, are you in the faith? Number two, is there anything that might be hindering your relationship with the Father? You realize your sins have been paid for on the cross. They're no longer counted against you. But there may be something that has hindered your fellowship with the Lord. A sin that's been paid for. It's been paid for. It's done. But like when Amy, my wife, and I get into a little spat, and I have to go to her and say, "Listen, I recognize I didn't speak to you rightly." And she says, you're forgiven. I have to recognize. So let's take a moment right here. Let's thank the Lord for his body and his blood that was broken and spilled. Let's take a moment and ask the Lord, "Lord, is there anything between right now that I need to confess to you?" Would you do that? Jesus, we are thankful for your body broken and your blood spilled. We're thankful that you laid your life down. We're thankful that when you see us as your children, as joint heirs, that we're covered in your blood. We're thankful for your blood spilled so that we might have forgiveness. I'm going to ask that you take out that piece of bread. Jesus said, "This is my body broken for you. Won't you take and eat?" You hear me say this each time we take communion together. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. None. And today, if you don't know Christ, this is why he's brought you here, so that you might be covered in his blood. Jesus, we thank you. Would you take and drink? You know, you are sitting here going, yeah, I got that day. I'm thankful for the Lord. But Kyle, do you know what's happening today? Well, I want to tell you that there's another Thanksgiving that I want you to know about, a day of Thanksgiving. And it's this day. It's this day. Look with me in verse 16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That word dwell means live. Live. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness. Did you catch that? With thankfulness in your hearts to God. You may be going, man, Kyle, I got it. I see it. But you don't know where I am today. I look around in this room and there are some of you who are facing deep, you've got some medical situations that feel overwhelming. There are some of you in here, you've gone through death recently. You've experienced that in your family. Some of you, I know there may be some fragmented families that are beginning to happen right now, and you're thinking, at the holidays, are you kidding me? Some of you may be thinking, Kyle, have you seen this economy? This macro is really affecting my micro economy? I mean, what have I got to be? How am I going to do that? How am I going to do that? Listen, remember, he's commanded that we're to be thankful, to rejoice always, to be thankful. Kyle, what do you tell me? I need to be thankful for this junk that is in my life. Listen, I want to tell you, you don't have to be thankful for the junk in your life, but you do need to be thankful for the King who reigns in your life. That no matter what you're walking through, we sung about it a little while ago, I don't know what you're doing, but I know what you've done. There's not another one like you, Lord. You are worthy. You see, when we get our eyes on the thing rather than the King, it can be overwhelming very quickly. We've been called to be thankful, thankful people. I meet with a group of guys, and this past week we were talking about things we were thankful for, and they were saying, you know, some of the things they do or they've experienced in their own life, and one of the men said, you know, my wife's in a text group. And I went, ooh, the dreaded text group. He said, no, listen, every morning she gets a text and they have to respond with five things they're thankful for. I'm sitting there thinking, after day three, you better start digging deep, buddy. But seriously, have you ever thought about all the things that we have to be thankful for? Going all the way back, I'm thankful. Hearts of gratitude where I am today. Lord, I don't know if I'm thankful for this medical situation, but I'm thankful that you have me here right now because I know that you're going to show me something new about you. You're going to teach me about something new. You're going to show me in my own life what it is that you desire of me. Folks, I want to tell you, there is no greater witness about that day in your life than when in this day you're suffering, you're wondering, I don't know what to do, that you're able to call out, he's faithful. I'm thankful. God, I don't like the pain, but I'm grateful that you endured the pain so that I can live in this day. Another one of the men told me, he said, you know, around our dinner table, our breakfast table, whenever we gather, I try to get the kids and my family, we try to talk about one thing that we're thankful for that day. Just one thing that we're thankful for. Folks, I got an assignment for you. Today, I want you to think about, what am I thankful for? I want you to begin to make a list. I want you to begin to talk to, when you go home today, on your way home, on your way to the lunch counter, on the way, whatever it is you're doing today, I want you to stop. I want you to talk about it. Thanksgiving Day, before you cut into that bird, I'm going to ask you, everyone go around, I'm thankful. What am I thankful for? What am I thankful for? The kids, they may be thankful for dessert. Great. I am thankful for dessert also. What are we thankful for? Because we, as followers of Christ, we need to begin to develop the attitude, the mindset, the looking forward to, God, I'm thankful. I'm thankful. This is something that He's commanded us in this day. I don't know if you recognize this or not, but oftentimes it's easy just to think about Life Point Riverdale. Do you realize that you're a part of something that is much broader and much wider than just Life Point Riverdale? You're a part of a church that has 6 different churches, and we all have the same vision, the same drive, the same goal, the same message, to find life and live sent. God is doing some incredible things in our church. The Stewart's Creek campus just went to 3 services. Incredible. They're like busting at the seams trying to figure out what are they going to do. Life Point Franklin, just they're opening a brand new facility. I want you to see this here, because this is a part of us. This is part of your church. They're opening a brand new facility. We sent people because we live sent, not just asking you as people. We, as a church, we sent people to go be a part of Life Point Arrington, which is now Life Point Franklin. They're about to enter into a brand new facility. Life Point Brussels and Life Point Bangkok, where we've sent people, where the gospel's there, but there's not a lot of followers of Christ. Do you realize those are that's your brothers and sisters that are there? Easter's always a high time for churches. They experience their all-time high. Both of those campuses experience their all-time high on Easter. For the last 2 weeks, they've been meeting their Easter numbers for the last 2 weeks. The Lord God is doing a work. That's a part of us. That's what the Lord is doing in us. This is this church and our church, we are a generous people. This past year, in 2024, we had a large budget. We exceeded that by 10%. Met it and exceeded it by 10%. Our business administrator said, Kyle, Pat, our elders, he said, I think we can increase this and do some things that the Lord would have us do. And we increased our budget by over $1 million. By the end of 25, we will have met our budget and surpassed it by 10%. You may go, why are you telling me this? Because this is a generous people. Thank you for being generous. Even in the midst of where you are walking, you're still being faithful to say, God, this is yours. Being a part of something that is bigger and greater than just my life and my church. Can I say thank you to you? It's a pleasure to be your pastor. You know, I came here in February, well, December, next month, it'll be 6 years, and like a bad penny, you couldn't get rid of me. I've been around here. February, I became the permanent guy here, as permanent as the Lord will have me here. And the dreaded C word happened. You remember COVID? Hate it. We shut down. I'm getting sweaty thinking about it, to be honest with you. I'm glad we're past it. We had to go to 3 services, not because of the amount of people, but because of just the whole distancing stuff. When the Lord got us through that, we came back together, and we just, through that time, all we've done is preach the word, sing, call you to be faithful, all of us to find life and live sin. And people have just become, I don't know how people find us. I hear the internet. I hear neighbors have invited me. We went and hung door knockers this week in our apartments. We had somebody show up last night because they got a door knocker this week. Said, I heard there's a Saturday night service. I want to come be a part of it. Folks, listen, God continues to send people. We're growing at this church 25% year over year. Year over year. In 2022, I said to you guys, hey, we're going to need to go to 3 services. And you said, let's go. Maybe it wasn't quite that animated, but which required us to start a new hour with full new volunteers and servers and people jumping in. And people just continue. The Lord just keeps sending people. You realize growth is a stewardship, don't you? All of life is a stewardship. The money that he gives us, as we steward it, he'll trust you with more because he knows you'll continue to steward it for his glory. Not to make you rich, but so that you'll steward it for his glory. He sends people here because he trusts you to send to steward those people. So if we steward those people, disciple them, help them find life and live sin, he continues to send. This is what the Lord has been doing here. Earlier this year, I said, guys, we're shoving a size 10 foot into a size 7 shoe. We got to add some more room. We went to a fourth service. Do you know that week to week, we're still at 25% more folks. We have people on Sunday mornings that come and serve on Saturday night and then come back on Sunday morning so that they can be a part. Thank you. Some of you are going, man, I feel frayed because there's so much happening. I'm getting pulled in so many directions. Can I tell you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Your pastor and staff are thankful for this body. You've been praying about what are we going to do? How are we going to do things? Well, the Lord has answered that. I will tell you several ways that we're going to begin to, that he's sending us to help with growth. Number one, we have a full-time associate pastor who's coming on board in the new year, somewhere around April. His name is Jordan Rabin. He is our Brussels campus pastor. Yes, you can clap. That is a very good thing. Yes, he's coming. He and his family, I want you to see him. Jordan and Morgan and their children, David and Nora and Benjamin. They're going to be coming on to be a part of our staff team as a full-time associate. But I want to say this to you. Him being our full-time associate is not the end goal. Our desire is that within 2 years, we're planting a new campus in the Murfreesboro area somewhere, and he's going to be the campus pastor. Yes, give the Lord a clap offering for that. The Lord, I'm going to give some of you the shakes a little bit. I was doing a little research this week. The Murfreesboro zip codes, just the Murfreesboro zip codes. By 2035, there's supposed to be 50,000 new people. Some of you are getting the shakes. Do you know that Rutherford County today has just over 200,000? By 2035, it's supposed to be just shy of 500,000. Do you know why the Lord God is sending people to Rutherford County? Because there are churches like LifePoint who will share the gospel with them. They think they're coming here for a job. He's bringing them here because of the gospel. That means we need new churches. We need more space. We need people who are willing to give their lives in thanksgiving and gratitude. God, put me in, coach. Where do we go? You say, okay, well, Kyle, are we going to have another service? Well, today I want you to see, beginning in just a couple of weeks, we're going to be breaking ground on a brand new facility here also. Should be able to see. This is a rendering of LifePoint Riverdale, this church. It will be a 400-seat auditorium that will be from the courtyard to the front of Warrior. I like hearing that. Wow. Unbelievable. Folks, I want you to know, the Lord is doing some incredible things. You heard me tell you a few. It's been a little while. Some of you know about this. The Stewart's Creek property has 82 acres. And 2 years ago, we entered into an agreement to sell 70 of those. It is supposed to close December the 15th. We've had so many of these that have just kind of kept pushing. But December the 15th. You pray, December the 15th. But we're going to go ahead and step into a little faith move here. Beginning tomorrow, we're going to start making a new parking lot on the other side, towards this side of the property line. You're going to see fencing go up. You're going to begin to see us cutting parking lots in for places for people to be able to park. That's one of the things I hear often. I want to come, but I drive in and I have to drive out because I can't find a parking spot. We got parking teams. We're trying to alleviate that. Some of you are going, man, this is going to be awesome, but I need you to know there's still more that the Lord's going to ask us to do and be a part of, and I'm asking you to be ready for that. We have much to be thankful for. We have much to be thankful for. In the midst of where we are thankful for what He did on that day. We're thankful that He's placed us in this day, even with the hardships of growth and all those things. But we want to be faithful to steward the people He's sending to us. Father, I love You and I'm thankful for today. God, I'm thankful that You have provided a way. I'm thankful, Father, that You're providing means. Father, I'm thankful, God, that You're giving us a people, a building of people here who desire Your namesake to spread all throughout Murfreesboro and Rutherford County and around the world. Jesus, we magnify You. And it's in the name of Jesus that we ask these things. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand as we sing another song. The reason that we are thankful for that day, it affects this day and how we live. And I want to make sure that you hear me say something. What we're doing in all of these things, yeah, it affects today. But the reason that we, as individuals, the reason that we as a church do what we do is for that one day. That's the third Thanksgiving day, I want you to know this. We're thankful for the day that He came, He lived, He died, He rose again. We're thankful for that day that we had salvation and how it affects us in this day. But I need you to hear this. The whole reason that we do what we do is for that one day when we will all be gathered around the throne. Look at verse 17 in Colossians 3. Verse 17 says this, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks." There's that thanks again. Giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Guys, I need to say this to you. Ladies, I want you to hear this. Students, I need you to catch this. It doesn't matter whether we sing, whether we're at the ball field, whether you're around your table, whether you're down the hallway in discipling kids, whether you're here on a Saturday night, whether you're here on a Sunday morning, whether you're in a dance troupe, whether you're working at your workplace. The reason that you do what you do this day is so that there will be people around the throne with you one day. This is why we do that. We don't do this because this is just what you do on Sundays or Saturdays. We don't just do this so that there are talented people who can come and play and we come and see our friends. All of that is good, but that's not why we do what we do. Do you know why we do what we do in word or in deed? So that Jesus Christ, He alone, would be magnified. I mean, listen, in that last Thanksgiving day, you heard me talk about all the ways that the Lord is using your church, this church. It's His church. And you hear me say often, and I want to remind you of something. This isn't about LifePoint. This is about Jesus Christ. Do you realize that there is someone who shared the gospel with you? It may have been in another generation, and I don't mean like hundreds of years ago, in a different part of a generation that you're living in now, and you came to know Jesus Christ. You know what your task is? It's to pass that to the next generation so that they might live faithfully, not just in your home. You know, the sad thing is that I'll have parents sometimes. Austin will have parents sometimes. Heath will have parents sometimes who bring us their children and want us to share the gospel. That's your job. We want to help you with that. We want you to pass the gospel to the next generation in your home. But also know that there are people who send their teenagers, their kids to church. You're bringing them. Did you know that we need you to step in so that you can help pass to the next generation so that one day they might be around the throne? We send people around the world, not so that LifePoint has a name, but so that Jesus' name might be known. That's why we do that. You know what's exciting to me is that there are going to probably be people in this very room that are sent to another location somewhere. I'm not looking forward to you leaving one day. But you know what I'm excited about? The gospel will go forth in another place and another church will be planted. There are some of you that the Lord is going to call to go way over there, not just across Murfreesboro, but he may call you to go across a sea somewhere. You know what? We're going to send you and we'll be sad. But you know why you're sent? The reason you're sent is because one day every tribe, every nation, every tongue will be represented around the throne. And so whatever we do in word or deed, whether you're in second, third period, whether you're in your second or third job, whether I don't care what it is about the glory of God. Word and deed. We do it all to His glory. His glory alone. You know, I've tried to give you a little picture about your church. At Life Point Riverdale, of our members, nearly 70% are under the age of 44. Some of you are thinking right now, I'm not in that category. You know what that tells us? This is a church that is focused to the next generation. And I make no bones and no apologies for that. Any building that we build, this gen gets the benefit. But do you know who we do that for? Those who come after us. Do you know why we go? For those who come after us. I'm going to ask if you would, take just a moment with me, and I'd like for you to see a little bit about the one day vision. Please.
Have you ever thought about that one day?
The day when heaven and earth will be made new.
The one day when our longing for home will finally be met as God makes His dwelling place with His people.
Just as He came once as a baby in Bethlehem to dwell among us, He will come again to dwell with us forever.
One day, the waiting will end.
One day we'll stand before Him, a bride prepared for her groom, radiant and whole.
He will dwell with us and we will dwell with Him one day.
One day He will wipe away every tear from our eyes and death will be no more. No more mourning or crying or pain, for the former things will have passed away.
One day the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, will finish what He started.
He will make right what's wrong. He will make whole what's broken.
And one day, a great multitude from every nation, from every tribe, and from every language will stand before the throne, crying out with a loud voice,
"Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne."
There will be no temple, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. No need for sun or moon, for the glory of God will be its light and the Lamb its lamp.
But until that one day, we live in this world, a world still longing for redemption. While we still have breath in our lungs, we fight the enemy's lie that life is ours to live however we please.
No, we live as God's people, citizens of heaven, ambassadors of hope. You see, one day is not just a dream. It's a promise, a guarantee that shapes how we live today.
God didn't call us to comfort.
He called us to a cause.
To die to ourselves, to live sin on one mission.
To make Jesus known in every nation, to every tribe and in every language.
And He's doing it through us.
Through us.
And He's doing it through us.
One day at a time.
Together, we've planted churches, witnessed salvation, and celebrated baptisms.
We've fasted, we've prayed, we've given and gone across the street and across the world.
We've shared the gospel in English and Spanish and Arabic and French and Thai and Dutch and Portuguese.
The hurting have found hope.
The weary have found rest.
The lost have been found.
From our community to campuses around the world, God is building His church one day at a time, and all in preparation for that glorious one day.
This Christmas, as we celebrate the first coming of Christ, we look forward to His return. We give not out of obligation, but out of expectation that one day every heart will know His name.
Every dollar given to this Christmas offering fuels the mission, bringing light where there's darkness and hope where there's despair and life where there's death.
We give because He gave first.
We go because He came first.
And we love because He loved first.
So until that one day when we join Him, we'll keep living sent.
We'll keep giving generously.
We'll keep shining His light with the world because Christmas reminds us that light has already come.
And one day that light will never fade.
Until that day,
we find life and live sent.
One day.
I'm going to ask that you stand with me. Kyle, what do I do? Look, let me tell you what you do. Because of that day, it influences this day so that one day others will be with us. Today, you may be here and you don't know Christ the Savior. That's why the Lord brought you here. Today, on this day, is so that your life would be intercepted by His Spirit, so that you would go from death to life. Immediately following this, I'm going to be out the doors and to the left, and I would love to be able to talk with you and pray with you, help you to understand what does it mean for me to have new life in Christ. You're a believer in Christ, and you say, Kyle, what about me? Well, number one, we're commanded to be thankful people, even where we are today. Would you walk away today committed to be thankful? And would you share with your family, with your friends, whoever it is, this is what we're thankful for today. This is how we're living a life. Would you begin a practice? I also want you to begin to pray about how your life is going to impact others for that one day. You're going to hear more about the Christmas offering. I'm going to let you know now, we need some of you to step into areas of ministry so that you're investing your life this day for one day in the next generation. Zion, come close us out.